Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, this week we've been talking about how can we, in a positive, spiritually correct and proper way, deal with all the manner of things that happen in our lives, all the changes that are just an ever-present, consistent aspect of our lives. We go through seasons in our lives. I mean, the seasons of growth, for example, we're born a baby, we're a toddler, we're a child, and then we grow to be a youth, to maturity. And then as the Lord grants blessings and long life, we enter into old age. And at every one of those natural seasons in our lives, there are very specific and unique blessings as well as challenges in those times. And perhaps especially for those who get up in years, there is the ever greater knowledge and awareness of our own mortality as the body decays, if you will, as death is present in our body, because until the Lord comes and we are changed, we have the body, as Paul said, of this death. Yet we know that God has for us a wonderful, glorified body that will not know pain and that will be able to do the same things that His glorious body can do even now. One of the things I've always loved about Jesus, because the disciples were so distraught, they thought He was a ghost. And He says, no, come on, handle me. See, you know, I'm not a spirit. I'm, flesh and bone just as you. And then He asked for something to eat. I just love that. I think that is so, that's just a little precious detail that's outlined in the scripture. Another thing I've always loved, just think, Jesus, He had been, leading captivity captive. He preached to the souls which were in prison, and all those godly dead who were in Sheol until the time of His crucifixion. He went down after His death, and He ascended with them to heaven, praise God. And one of the things that, but as He did that, before He accomplished His ascension, which it says in terms of the resurrection story, the headcloth that was over His head, it was neatly folded, that the Lord took the time and the care to actually fold that up in a proper position. And so this is the Lord we served. He can relate to the feeling of our infirmities. Why? Because He is the Lord, and He lived a natural life just as we do. He was very God, but He attained the victories He did, not because He was God, because that would defeat the purpose. He was a perfect man who never sinned, never had any sin. He was the perfect atonement, and because of that, God's justice was vindicated, and He suffered in our place, in our behalf. But He was very much a man. He was thirsty. He was hungered after His fast, it records. He was tired, so tired He could fall asleep in the middle of a storm. So obviously, He can relate to all the things that we go through, not just in a physical way, but in our emotions too. He knew rejection. He knew ridicule. He knew humiliation. He knew rejection from those who should have understood and loved Him the most. And as I shared yesterday in that sixth chapter of John, He turned to His disciples and said, are you going to go away also? And the pathos in that. So, beloved, we have a Savior and a high priest who identifies with us very, very much. And one of the ways to go through troubles and trials and battles is to meditate and meditate and recall the faithfulness of God to you. Meditating on His faithfulness in your own life builds your faith for whatever issues or troubles you're going through right this at this moment. Because, you know, change is inevitable. It is a part of life. Everything has to change or it will become stagnant or die. That's what happens to a pond of water that has no outflowing or infilling. It just becomes stagnant. And most of us know we need to change, but how do we do it? Well, we have to learn how to do that through the Word of God. And God has been gracious to give gifts to the body of Christ. They're called Ascension Gifts Ministry, outlined in Ephesians 4, the 13th chapter. That's why fivefold ministry is given. And He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But this is the purpose. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so, how we are able to change, which is a very good question, you know, because we, when we're born again, our spirit is alive. We go from death to life spiritually, but everything else doesn't change. Our bodies don't change. Our what we call the flesh or our carnal nature has to be mortified. It has to undergo and experience a transforming process. And we are able to experience that change by appropriating God's grace. What is His grace? It's been defined in many ways. Perhaps the most familiar definition is God's unmerited love and favor, even when we don't deserve it. We're not changed by our trying to be better or trying to earn His love and approval. Have you found that out? No matter how hard you try, it doesn't work. It doesn't change. He loves you as His child, not for what you do. It's not so much the world, it depends on performance orientation. If you do a good job, you're rewarded for it. Well, of course, that's true in the spiritual realm, but His love and His acceptance of us is not dependent upon what we do. Even the worst sinner, He loves dearly and poured out His blood in behalf of that person. And so, even when we acknowledge that we need to change, sometimes something happens to prevent us from embracing that change and that resulting transformation. What happens? Well, I'm sure you're familiar with it. We all are. Paul expressed it beautifully. The things that I wouldn't do, I do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. So our old patterns of thinking and our old patterns and habits of behavior bring a natural resistance, and that will bring us out of our comfort zone. Joel 3:14 says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Now, this is just one way of looking at what is being said by the prophet. It is in this valley of decision, making it very personal, that we accept God's grace, or we have another alternative. We can resist it. When this verse ties the day of the Lord, which of course means judgment being near, with decision making, what does that mean? It is an indication that we have a choice. Yes, we've got free will, and you can do whatever you want to do. God does not restrict you. However, there are consequences for the choices that we make. Either it brings life to us, or it can bring death. It means that there can be a serious consequence for our decision. Now, what happens if we resist grace, if we are indifferent, if we're proud, if we're irresponsible, if we're afraid and fearful of the unknown, not wanting anything to be different? And also, there can be fear of self-awareness. That can all, now what does that mean? That means we are not willing to acknowledge our problems. That's what fear of self-awareness means. It's like an alcoholic who refuses to accept the fact that he's an alcoholic. I mean, he drinks every day, but oh no, it's not a problem. I've got it under control. I can stop at any time. Well, to anyone who is addicted, my statement to you is, can you just stop it and leave it alone? That's the indication of whether or not you're addicted. Beloved, I mean, and this is not condemning because I dearly love coffee. Caffeine is addictive. There are times I purposely withdrawn from caffeine because, as Paul, I will not be in bondage to anything. And I'm not saying that to condemn you, but the sugar is addictive. Goodness sakes, you know, how many colas do you drink a day? That kind of thing. And so that resistance, whether it's pride, irresponsibility, fear of the unknown, fear of acknowledging our real condition, all these things can cause unwillingness to face the pain of knowing and confronting the symptoms of our sin and dysfunction. And then laziness, slothfulness, will cause us to rationalize our retreat back into the familiar and comfortable old ruts that we make for ourselves. Oh, I know. I'm not being very nice or sympathetic, but it's truth, beloved. So we choose the easy path, regardless of how unproductive, dysfunctional, or ungodly it may be. And then we emotionally discount our resistance, which is full-blown denial. Beloved, we don't have to understand God's grace, but we simply must receive it. Making no decision is the same as making a decision. Do you understand that? If you don't make a decision, that's actually a choice. It has results and consequences. Well, beloved, I want you to know that if you're having difficulty in any of these areas I'm sharing with you, then I do implore you to write. Please, there's power in agreeing prayer. Many times if I'm stuck and I'm really dealing with issues and I've prayed and there's not movement, then I ask somebody to agree with me. And praise God, because that's one of God's principles. He honors that, and deliverance and freedom come. So I invite you, take an opportunity to reach out to the Lord and reach out to me so that I can be a partner in prayer with you. I love you. Thank God for you. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,